Welcome to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. Enjoy this sermon by Pastor Matt Wolfington.
I'm going to call Tina Lyon up as she comes forward. Just want to welcome you into the way where we want you to spend time with Jesus. We want you to become like Jesus, and we want you to act like Jesus. And as we go into the world, that's our calling. So, Lord God, as we are gathered here today, I am just very aware of how you want to provide freedom for us during this time, not just of worship, Father, but in our lives each and every day. So, Lord, free us from this reserved nature that we have, Father, where we are worried about maybe who we are. Father, we are worried about our sinfulness, and Lord, that we can't come to you fully. Father, where maybe we don't believe that we know enough or that we are worthy enough. Father, those are all just lies from the enemy, as you tell us. And so, Lord, I speak against those lies today, and as we worship you, Lord, I pray that we would just open ourselves. Father, that we would just love you fully. Father, that we would see who we are as you see us, as one of your children, loved, free, and forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen. Father God, just we are so, so, so grateful. Lord, we sing that you are so good to me. And then as we think that and feel that, we also look around and we see how you are good to us. Father, in life, like little Hank here, Father, in family that's around us. Father, in provision that's in our life. But Father, even more importantly than that, just your Son, Jesus. Father, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of our surroundings, Father, you give us eternal life. And Lord, I thank you for that today. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. And Hank says, amen. Y'all may be seated. Little trade-off here. You know, there's lots of comical things that go on in ministry, and I can't wait to go back and look at the Facebook video of whoever that was behind me getting that pack off my belt loop. It's going to be entertaining. I can't wait to see that. Somebody's going to make that into a meme, and it's going to scare me to death. Going to pray for your money, and as you give today, just know that the Lord knows your pocketbook. He knows what your bank accounts are. He knows your needs. He knows your wants and desires. What I try to always do is make sure we give that to the Lord and allow him to work in us and through us. Children are dismissed for children's worship, as you already see them running out. Dallas is a brother in Christ. He's a great friend, but I don't think I'm going to let you put that back on my belt loop. I appreciate that, though. Father God, we are here, and Lord, we come to worship you today. Lord, we come to love on you today. Lord, we come to give you your all in all that you are due. And Father, that's way more than just singing songs to you. That's way more than our prayers. It's way more than just how we give to you and our finances. Father, but as we do that, Lord, our money does matter. And Lord, I know it does. It matters to all of us. And Father, some of us have way more than we need, and some of us have way more expenses than we have money for. And some of that is our fault, our own irresponsibility or getting overextended. Father, maybe some circumstances that were beyond our control. But Lord, you are greater than all of that, and I pray that you would be in the inner workings of our income. Lord, let us be responsible with it. Let us be good stewards of it. Lord, let us give to you what you ask so we can fund your ministry, Father, so we can go out and do what you've called us to do. And Lord, and as we do, bless each giver. Lord, teach them, Father, as you have taught in your scriptures, Lord, to give. In Jesus' name, amen. starting a new little mini-series today for the next couple of weeks, and it's going to be No Longer a Slave, and what that's going to amount to is how we find freedom in Christ in the different areas of our lives, and I really think it's, I say it, I try to incorporate it and include it in every kind of every prayer, in every conversation about all of this that we do in ministry is not just about eternity, it's about today and why it matters to us today and how we can put it into practice today. When you leave this morning, you'll go out and you'll see a new message on the sign that faces the building, kind of give you a mission as you go out, kind of give you a vision for what we are called to do. I said it when we walked in this morning, and my welcome is to spend time with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and to act like Jesus. And that's what we're supposed to do in the world. And you really, you can't just do one of those. You have to do all three of them to be able to accomplish what God wants to do in our life. And to do that, though, also requires the freedom that God gives us through Jesus to be able to function in the power that He gives us. And so today I want to drop into Scripture and talk about that. You'll hear it this week, kind of a build-up. This week is for next week, and then we'll culminate in 3 weeks from now to hear what God has to say to us. I'm going to ask out loud. Well, no, I'm not. I'm going to do something different. But I hear people say a lot about their life circumstances, and maybe you could agree with this, is, well, whatever the question might be, the response is, I can't because, and then they have whatever the reason is. Some of those are legitimate reasons. Some of those are excuses that we make. Some of those are real life, and some of those are more a little perceived. I wish I could, but, and then we do the same thing. Or oftentimes, it's like, well, when I can kind of get my life together, you know, when I can get my finances together, when I can stop having to focus on my family so much, or when, everybody's guilty, so I'm not even going to ask how many, or, well, when things slow down, I will, right? Anybody? Yeah, all of us. It's constant. And I have learned one thing about that phrase, well, when it slows down, it never slows down. Some of us say, well, when summer gets here, and then summer is just as busy as the spring, or when I get a break, and you never get a break because we always fill the emptiness with something. And so how do we navigate that? I think we need the freedom from that, and it is the freedom that God gives us in Christ to be able to navigate through. I also think that we, even when we understand that we're free, we don't know how to function in our freedom. And I think that is more where we're at right now than anything. Some of us, does anybody have a tool at home that's maybe in your shed that you inherited from somebody, or it was passed down to you, or it just looked, I mean, I know most of you can't relate to this. A few of you are going to be like I am. That looks like it's a really cool tool at Lowe's, and it doesn't cost a lot, so I'm going to buy it because one day I just might need it. Right? And then we look at it, we really don't even know what it does. So how many of you have that in your life? Maybe you know what freedom is, but you don't know how to function in it. You don't know how to use it. I want to read a quick idea and understanding of this. It was posted on Facebook this week, and he knows who he is, but I didn't get his permission, so I'm not going to tell you who he is. But it says this. It says that I learned that the very thing I fear is my freedom. It comes from my tendency to recoil from taking responsibility for anything. I deny, I ignore, I blame, I avoid. Then one day I look, I admit, and I accept. The freedom, the healing, and the recovery I experience is in the looking, admitting, and accepting. The learn to say yes, yes, I am responsible. When I can speak those words with honesty and sincerity, then I am free. Boy, aren't we all in that? And we do this in so many different areas. And it doesn't have to be a crisis moment. It doesn't have to be a hard moment. It's just, it's a moment where we take responsibility for the freedom God has given us. I don't know that you know. I know this because of my own previous law enforcement world. There are people that spend 20, 30, 40 years incarcerated in prison. And then when they've served their sentence, they get out and they are free. But they actually do not literally know how to function as a free person in society because they've been confined for so many years. They don't know how to make decisions. They don't know how to make responsible choices. There's just so many things there, and they would rather be back in prison. And I know that's so hard to believe, but even the children of God, when they were freed from slavery in Egypt, and they were free, but it was hard because they were having to learn something new, they said, oh, let's go back to Egypt. Let's go back to slavery where at least we had meat and we had fruit. We had a life that we knew how to live. That's crazy, but we do it. And so I want to look at that today because I think one of my greatest challenges is not for you to understand that you're free, but to learn how to act as you are free. And this comes from the one principle that you're going to hear in Scripture today. It's called being an heir of the promise of God. Being heir of the promise of God. Being heir of the promise of God. Being a recipient of that promise that He has in store for us. And Romans 8:17 says this. It says, now if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings in order that we may also share in His glory and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus. See, we are not equal to Jesus in the fact that certainly we are not equal in His divinity, but we're equal in the way that God wants to give to us what He gave in His Son. We are adopted into the family. And so Christ gives us His glory. Christ gives us His riches. And then Hebrews, I love this, Hebrews 1 verse 2 says, in all things we receive in Christ. So what Christ has, He wants to give to us. He wants us to have that freedom. And so I'm going to read out of Galatians 3:19-29. Just follow along. If you have your Bibles with you, open those up. If you clicked on the notes and you have those today, you can follow along there as well. Galatians 3:19-29. When then was the law given at all? Why then was the law given at all? It was added because of transgressions until the seed to whom the promise referred had come. The law was given through angels and entrusted to a mediator. A mediator, however, implies more than one party, but God is one. Is the law therefore opposed to the promises of God? Absolutely not! Exclamation point. I'm going to say that again. Is the law therefore opposed to the promises of God? Absolutely not. For if a law had been given that could not impart life, then righteousness would certainly have come by the law. But Scripture has locked up everything under the control of sin, so that what was promised, being given through faith in Jesus Christ, might be given to those who believe. Before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came that we might be justified by faith. Now, that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who are baptized in Christ, has clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, nor slave nor free, nor is there male or female. For you are all one in Jesus Christ. If you belong to Christ, then you are of Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. A lot of us ask this question. A lot of us grew up with a misunderstanding. A lot of us believe today that the Old Testament is gone. It's no longer relevant because Jesus came and now we live in a New Testament world. So not true. I have heard famous pastors, I have heard influential preachers, I have read scholars say that we don't have to worry about the Old Testament anymore because of the New. We don't worry about the Ten Commandments anymore because we live under the grace of God now. That is such a lie. That is just not true. And we could spend lots of time on that. We could have a Sunday night Bible study talking about this, and two of you would show up. I mean, it's hard, but it's true that we don't get rid of the law because of Jesus. In fact, what did Jesus himself say? I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill the law. See, the promises of God are not in opposition to the law, and the law of God in the Old Testament through Moses is not in opposition to the promises of God. So I want to ask it in a different way right now. Instead of saying the promise of God, I want to ask this: is the law opposed to grace? Because the promise of God, the promises of God, really do revolve around the grace we get in Jesus. So are the laws of God opposed to the grace of God? And the answer is absolutely not. They work together. They work in concert together. And a custodian, think about it, when it says that a custodian was over the child, it really means that the custodian guards the child. The custodian shapes and molds the child in their behavior, how they act, maybe try to influence how they think, but they can't change their heart. And a custodian cannot also make them an heir. A custodian can't give somebody the heir of their parents, can't change the will and testament of their parents. No, all they can do is the physical outwardness. See, that's all that the law was trying to do, was give them guardrails. How many times have you heard me say that? That's what all this is for, is to give us guardrails and guidance to get us to the promise of God. And so with the laws of God, if you don't have the heart to trust in his mercy, I want you to hear this clearly, then the law is going to feel really heavy-handed. You're gonna think of the Ten Commandments as you've been grounded. And you have to, there's a consequence for everything. Like you have to do this number one and number two and number three. And if you go out beyond that, then you're going to be punished. It's going to be horrible. You're going to be cast into darkness. You're going to go straight to hell. No, that's not what he's saying. What he's saying is, but if you have a heart to trust God and rely on his mercy, right, then I think, the way I feel, is those laws, those commandments, the promises, the grace and the mercy and the justice, then all those are going to feel like when you go see your doctor when you're sick and your doctor writes you a prescription and then you say, how long is this going to take? And he goes, be in your system 24, 48 hours and you're going to start feeling better. But I'm also going to give you the most wonderful words I can ever hear a doctor say. I don't know what they're really called. I always call them like a Kenalog shot or something like that. Yeah, see? Can you just please give me that shot? Oh, yeah, we can do that. And then like in hours, you're just feeling better. You're not healed. You're not cured. But all of a sudden, this medicine that has been hiding from you, but that you know is there, all of a sudden starts bringing a new perspective. And it keeps you in the guardrails. It keeps you in what God has for you. And it's because your doctor cares for you, right? It's Jesus and God do these things. The reason it is there is because they know what we need. How many of y'all hate taking what I call those horse pills that are called antibiotics, right? And you're like, oh my gosh, I don't know how I'm going to be able to swallow this. But you know when you do, it works. And sometimes that's the way the law feels. But if we look at God in such a way, I want you to hear me. If you don't hear anything else today, I want you to hear this. I wrote it down. It's on the notes. It's not on the screens. It says, how you respond to the law depends on what your relationship is to the lawgiver. I love that Holy Spirit thing right there. Right? How you respond to the law really depends on your relationship to the lawgiver. Because if you have an adversarial relationship with God, if you have a relationship with God where he's just kind of out there and you don't understand why he does what he does and how he feels about you and how he wants to interact with you and why he sent Jesus, then yes, all that's going to feel very heavy-handed. That's not what he ever intended. Galatians, 1 John 5:3, let me tell you this. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. When we have the right relationships, we know that what he wants for us is not burdensome. It's not heavy-handed. It's not difficult for us. And then Galatians 3:21 back says, is the law therefore opposed to the promises of God? Absolutely not. For if law had been given that can impart life, the righteousness would certainly have come by the law. It wasn't about redemption for us. That's what Jesus is for. It wasn't about keeping the commandments is going to get you to heaven, right? No, it's about being in relationship with God. Jesus gets us to heaven. Jesus gets us to where God wants us to be. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So if the law opposes God, then let's go back to the question, does law oppose grace? Well, what is this thing called grace? Well, Paul tells us that this grace is about our faith. And so in verse 25, he comes back and he says, but now that faith has come, we are no longer under a custodian. Well, what does this faith mean? Does that mean that there were no faithful before Jesus? No, that's not true. There's a whole part in Hebrews chapter 11 called it says a lot of things in your scriptures, but in mine it's called the famous of the faith. Right, and the famous of the faith, it goes back to Moses, it goes back to Abraham, I mean, it goes back to all these people. So it's not about faith, but it is about the fact that once faith has come now, it is for everybody. That now that faith has come in Jesus Christ, and it's not just for what they were calling the children of God, right? Those that were slaves and those that were free, those that were Jews. Because remember now it says there's neither Jew nor Gentile, nor male nor female, right? Nor slave nor free. It's for everybody. And I think sometimes, now I'm back to that thing, we all know we're free, but we don't know how to use it. Because we don't know that we are actually a child of God. We don't know. We don't claim it for ourselves. We say that we're a Christian, but we really don't know what that means because we grew up in the church. We grew up with our families. We grew up with our grandparents taking us to church, and we sang the songs. But then when it really comes down to it, we don't know what that means. See, we find freedom when we come to this place in faith. See, freedom in faith really means that faith has come by God's grace for not just the ones that believe and understand, but for the ones that don't believe and don't understand. They have the same opportunity. Yes, eventually you have to make a choice, but it's still for everybody. There's nobody that's excluded. He says, when faith came. So my question for you today is, when faith comes in your life, how does it change you? Because if you're not changing, then maybe I would ask, faith hasn't necessarily come in your life. If you don't necessarily believe, if you don't necessarily believe that you need to be different, right? Well, remember I said you have to do all three on that sign when you leave today? Well, I spend time with Jesus. Maybe I'm becoming like Jesus, but I'm not acting like him. Or maybe I think I'm acting like him, but I don't spend any time with him. Or maybe, now you can just go through all the scenarios. See, that's not what it is, because when we are heirs of the promise is the difference, right? What's the difference between the promise of grace and then the law of God? Well, it really means the Holy Spirit. That's the difference. I know the Holy Spirit moved in the Old Testament. There's plenty of places that we can all point to for that. But the major difference for you right now today, how do you spend time with Jesus? How do you become like Jesus? How do you act like Jesus? Is the power of the Holy Spirit. And listen, Luke 4:18 says this. This is Jesus talking. This is the Savior talking. This is God talking in human flesh. Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of the sight for the blind and to set the oppressed free. Now we're back to what I said earlier. He gives you His presence. He gives you His riches. He gives you everything that God has ever given Him. If you want to know what your assignment is, and there are lots of specifics underneath what Jesus just said, but this is a great place to start. Proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, and to set the oppressed free. And maybe you need to do that with yourself first. Maybe you need to allow God to set you free. I know we've had illustrations, and we've done it over the last years, and where you know, we've seen chains, and we've seen handcuffs, and sometimes those handcuffs are still on you, but they're unlocked, and all you have to do is take them off. Sometimes you have the shackles, but they're unlocked, and all you have to do is take them off. Paul in prison, I think this is how I would react. When Paul was in prison, and the prison was shaken, and the chains and the shackles fell off of them, and they knew that the guards were standing there, don't you know that, at least Paul didn't do this, but don't you know some of those other prisoners were so scared when that happened that probably one or two of them were grabbing those shackles and grabbing those chains and trying to put them back on themselves because they didn't want to get in trouble, because they didn't want to be seen as free. They didn't want to be seen as what God had called them to be, to walk out and be free. I think we do that all the time because we know what it means. We understand this heirs to the promise, but I want you to think about this. In many cultures around the world, when we talk about this idea of having something we need to give to somebody else. In cultures around the world, there's a great honor in helping other people. More so, it's not about a good feeling. When I say there's an honor about helping other people is when you say that you want to be a guest of theirs. I remember being in another country, and these people just, they knew we didn't have a place to stay, and they opened up their home to us, a tiny place. Not anything like we would see here in our neighborhoods. This really tiny place. They didn't have hardly any food, but they managed to put together what they had. Neighbors helped them put together a meal to serve us, right? They wanted to sleep on the floor and let us have their bed. They did everything they could to make us feel better than they could live themselves. And so much so, in this culture of honor about having someone as a guest in your home, they're willing to give their life for you. If someone was to come, there's a great historical document, a documentary even, they've made it into a movie or they're about to, where people in war, where our U.S. military are fighting against the Taliban, and there are people that are really wanting to be free, and they hide our soldiers in their homes. And they lose their lives hiding our soldiers in their homes with the possibility of them being free. See, we don't understand that idea of being an heir to the promise in that way. That amount of freedom in Christ, that amount of freedom that God wants us to have, that we would lay down our life, as Scripture says, for another to show them that freedom. But I say this, if you will entrust yourself to Jesus Christ and confess that you want to be His eternal guest, then His life that He laid down for you and that power and that freedom, it comes. And we start operating in a different way. And so I just want it for you first and foremost today. I'm not particularly worried. My task is not to give you an assignment to go out and save someone else, even though I would love for that to happen. But I wanted to start with you today, because once you realize you are free and you start acting like you are free, and then other people are going to become free. Remember last week I talked about your expanding circle of influence, your expanding circle of grace. So the law was our guardian until Christ came that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer a slave. No longer a slave. Next week, you're going to hear this passage of Scripture that's really our foundational Scripture, Galatians 4:7. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are His child, God has also made you an heir. I just want you to close your eyes for a second as I pray. And I just want you to imagine for a moment God, Christ, standing in front of you, having some way to communicate and show you what He has in store for you, what He wants to offer you, what He wants to give you. He's offered you salvation. He has written your name in the book of life, as we say. You are going to heaven, but you are not there yet. And He says, here's what I have for you. I have freed you from your guilt, your sin, your shame, your doubts, from your past. I know these things have happened. I know you made these choices. I know that circumstances in life hurt you or set you back or put you on a different path that you would not have chose for yourself. I know there's sadness. I know you are missing loved ones. I know you're in a job maybe you don't like, or in a job you love so much you've made it an idol. He knows, but He says, yet I want to give you all of this because you are my child. You are an heir in Christ Jesus. Now, what are you going to do with that, church? How are you going to share that with your spouse? How are you going to share that with your children? How are you going to share that with the world? How are you going to influence them with everything that you now have? You have the power of God inside you. And I know I say it too much, but it is so, so, so important. It is such a magnificent, marvelous privilege that we do not avail ourselves of. We stay shackled. We stay trapped. We stay a prisoner. I say, drop the chains, drop the shackles. Stick out your hands, hold out your arms, and take all that God has given you and be free. And be free in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. October the 5th, right here out at the way, there's going to be a giant tent back out front again. This is both campuses are getting together for this. It's called Sleep in Heavenly Peace. And what it is, we have lumber brought in. We're bringing all the tools, all the equipment. There's going to be food. There's breakfast. There's going to be lunch provided. You come. There's an age limit because there's power tools involved. And I mean, some of them are big. But there's things for everybody to do. And we put together bunk beds. We actually make bunk beds out of a plan. And so those are given to people in the community. Actually, there are, it's hard for us to believe that there really are kids sleeping on floors in Lubbock, Texas. But there are. There's a list, a verified list. These are vetted out by the people that are running this program. It's actually started and run by college students here in town. I think the last time we did this, last October, or was it February? I don't remember when it was, but we made more beds than we were asked to make because everybody was so excited about it. It's a great community involvement. I mean, I was there. I just can't tell you how great it is. It's great for your kids. I'm not going to keep talking about it. I really want you to be here October the 5th. It's come and go. You don't have to stay the whole day. Come for a little while, do something, and then you can go and about your day. So, Father, as we get ready to go into the world, Lord, empower us today. Lord, give us the strength. show us the freedom that we already have in Jesus Christ, and that we will go out into the world and then we will show people that we are free, and they would want to know why we act like we act, why we do what we do, why we are who we are. And we say we are all about Jesus, and we show them the way. In Jesus' name we pray, and all people said, amen. Y'all have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the St. Luke's Lubbock Sermon Podcast. For more information, you can find us on the web at stlukeslubbock.org. That's stlukeslubbock.org.